it was all because of God's amazing grace. Because of Calvary's mountain, he took my place. And someday, some glorious morning, I shall see him face to face. All because of God's amazing grace.
Book of 2 Timothy tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we'll be looking at also one verse of scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. This message tonight is meant to be a challenge, is meant to be challenging, but it is also meant to be encouraging tonight, and I hope that it will be that for you this evening. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. In some ways, I was looking over the message, and throughout the week, as I was preparing and thinking, and the Lord guided my thoughts to this truth for tonight, and I was thinking about it, and again, sometimes I don't always plan these things. I might think that I have an idea how things are going to go, and the Lord changes my mind as we move along. But I thought, really, in a lot of ways, this message is almost a summary of the messages to some extent throughout the message. But we live in a world that is filled with chaos, that is filled with confusion, that is filled with hate, and there's just a lot of things that if you wanted to be discouraged, you could be, I suppose, right? As you look at all the things that are going on in our world, and you listen to the news, you see the news, you see the things that are happening, and I don't like to be discouraged, so I choose not to be, but I'm just saying that if you wanted to be, you probably could. And there's just a lot of things going on in the world that we don't know really where all it's going to go. It wasn't too terribly long ago that all of us were shocked at the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And that same day, and then there in the state of Colorado, there was a school shooting. And a couple days later, there was a school shooting somewhere else in the country. You know, all these things happen from time to time, and we kind of wonder ourselves, you know, what in the world is going on? What is wrong with people? You know, have you ever thought that to yourself? What is wrong with people? And the violence of those times and things that happen every day, the uncertainty of our world, all of the tragedy that happens, and we live in a time that seems to feel unsettled in so many ways, and unstable, and maybe even unsafe. And there are people that are asking questions like, "Where is God in all of this? Where's God in all of this? And what are we supposed to do when everything seems to be falling apart?" Well, if you have had those kind of questions in your mind, the Bible doesn't leave us without an answer, but it does have an answer. And in fact, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, that sort of gets our mind thinking about these kind of days. And this is what it says. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, inconstant, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now, I can't help but read that passage of Scripture and think, man, that just sort of sounds like the headlines that I read on the news every day. Despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure, unthankful, unholy. Those are the days that you and I live in. But just before we ever even get started in the Scripture, in this message tonight, you and I must remember that the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be. And none of this catches him by surprise tonight. But in the midst of these perilous times, in the time of history that we have been placed, and the word is given to us, and we also read in Revelation chapter 3, we have this word, and it says this: "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And that would be our text this evening and the title of our message: "Hold that fast which thou hast." We could just shorten that to say, "Hold fast." And I believe this evening, very simply, that this is the call for Christians in our day. It's been the call for Christians really throughout all of history. And there have been times in this world and throughout history when there have been individuals that have been faced with things that maybe we even couldn't imagine today. But God was still the same then as He was before and what He is today. And when the world shakes and when society crumbles and when evil seems to run rampant, unchecked, you and I can hold fast. fast. Now, as I read these two passages of Scripture tonight, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 especially, we notice that there is the reality of perilous times. The Apostle Paul is not sugarcoating it, as the saying goes, in any way, but he just simply says, perilous times shall come. It will happen. It's going to happen. That word perilous simply means dangerous, violent, savage. It's the word, it's the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, that described the demonic there in Gadara. You remember that story. A man running about, wild, fierce, uncontrollable, controlled by spirits. That very same word that is used here in this passage for the word perilous, dangerous, violent, savage, wild, fierce, uncontrollable. And that is the spirit in which it seems that we are living in these last days. Violence in the streets, violence in our schools, a shooting here, somewhere, something happening over there. Hatred that devalues human life. Families that are breaking apart, and children growing up without guidance. We live in a culture that mocks holiness and exalts sin. That's where we are living at today. But friends, the Bible tells us that this would happen. God knew, and He knows what's going on. And in reality, in some ways, this may be kind of a different way to say it, but these are, if you will, the birth pains of a world under judgment where sin has run rampant and is in control of many individuals. But you'll notice that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy here, he says, this know also. In other words, he's saying, don't be surprised. Don't be shaken. Don't be caught off guard. God has already told us that it would be this way, so He knows it. It hasn't caught Him by surprise, and so you can still keep your trust in Him this evening. And can I remind you this evening that it is righteousness that exalts a nation, and it is the Spirit of Christ that ensures peace on earth and goodwill to men. As we think about Christmas time coming up, that is a phrase that we would hear. And you remember that when the angels came and began to speak to the shepherds on that first Christmas night, this was at the close of a time of period of darkness. God had not spoken to the voice of God had not been heard, and He breaks through the silence to give an announcement that the Messiah, the Savior that had been promised, had come to earth. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We recognize the fact through the Word of God that perilous times will come. There is a reality of it. But we also notice from these verses of Scripture that we have a call that has been presented to us that you and I would hold fast. Now the reality is tonight, let me just pause and say that the reality is tonight that anything that I say this evening is not something that we can or must do in our own strength, but you and I have a solid rock that we can be anchored in and we can be grounded in, and that solid rock is Christ Jesus. And in the middle of these times, Jesus speaks to us in Revelations and says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Now, we do not know this evening when the return of Christ is or will be. The Bible tells us that that is something that is only known to the Father. But in comparison to eternity, whenever Christ comes, it will be soon, right? And we understand that. And I believe that as you look at prophecy and you study all those things out, we are getting closer and closer and closer to that day in which Christ will return. But so what does it mean this evening to hold fast? I think we all know what that means. It simply means to cling tightly to grip with all of your strength, to not let go, no matter how strong the pressure against you is. You might imagine in your mind, especially in days gone by, of the ships with sails as they would travel across the ocean, and a sailor that would be on the deck of that ship and in the middle of a storm, and he would lash himself to the mast so that he wouldn't be swept overboard. That actually is something that happens on sailboats even today, the smaller ones. The helm is often outside the cabin, and when a storm will come, that the captain of that vessel will tie themselves or lash themselves to the helm so they are not washed overboard, to be held firm and to hold on. And that's the picture that we have here with these words, hold fast. Jesus is saying to us tonight, don't let go of your faith. Don't let go of your hope. Don't let go of the things that I have taught you, the things that I've called you to. Don't let go of the truth that you know, that you might be able to enter in to life everlasting and win the crown that he has for the believer. And so we have a reality that there is going to be things that will come our way. We have a call to hold fast. And then where I want to really focus tonight is simply this thought of how do we hold fast, or what is it that we're wanting to hold fast to? And I want to challenge you with these things. And also, as I said, I trust that these thoughts are an encouragement to you this evening. As you face the future and whatever is out there, for each and every one of us to know that God is on our side. First of all, you and I must hold fast our faith. I've alluded to that already. Hold fast to our faith. We are reminded in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him that cometh to God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, that's a very important foundation and a foundational verse for us this morning, or this evening. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, talking about God. For he that cometh, you and I, that cometh to God, must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We must hold fast to our faith. We must hold fast to our faith in God. A God this evening who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And he is the God who spoke this world into existence. You know, sometimes when I think about who God is and what he is and what he means and the God that we serve, and I recognize the fact that we serve a God who is knowable. In other words, we can know him and we can have a relationship with him. And this God is the God that we serve. The God that we serve and we worship on a Sunday morning way out there in Western Colorado is the same God that you worship here on Sunday morning as well. And he can be in more than one places. Aren't you glad for that? More than one place he can meet with us. And I'm so thankful for that this evening. He is the one in whom we can place our trust. And I'm reminded of the words of Scripture found in Proverbs where it says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. There's a little bit of something on our part. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Aren't you thankful for that this evening? To know that God cares about you. And the first place to begin in all of this chaos and all of the turmoil is to make sure and to know that our faith is in God, a God who is in control and a God who cares about us. We must hold fast to our faith in his love and his mercy. He is a God who loves you this evening. He is a God who is merciful. He is a God who whose grace is sufficient. John chapter 3, verse 16, we should all know this verse by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, 16. Ephesians 2 and 1, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Thank God for his love and mercy. Hold fast to that faith. Recognize the fact that God loves mankind and he is merciful to mankind. And he is waiting for those who have turned their back upon him to reach out. And when they do, when they turn in his direction, the Bible seems to indicate to us that God runs to meet that one who would come to repentance before him. And so hold fast to our faith in his love and mercy. Hold fast to our faith in his grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. Grace is a wonderful thing. We are awakened of our need of a Savior through the grace of God. It is the grace of God that awakens us to our need. It is the grace of God that saves us from sin. It is by the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus, that we can know that our sins are forgiven, that we can be made holy in our life. And it is the grace of God that sustains us each and every day. I love that verse of Scripture, and I'm sure you do too. It may be one of your favorites. The Apostle Paul was writing, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you remember what the context of that verse? The Apostle Paul had been praying about some things that were tormenting him. We don't know exactly what that might have been. There are different speculations, but he called it a thorn in the flesh. And he had prayed at least three different times specifically that God would take care of this need in his life and whatever it was. And then that third time, as the Apostle Paul was interceding on the behalf of this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, that God would remove it, God would take care of it, this is how God responded. He said, his answer was, he didn't take away the problem, but he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." I remember one day, a number of years ago now, I was sitting in my study and I was reading that verse, and all of a sudden the latter part of that verse just sort of jumped off the page at me. I've heard that verse my whole life. You have as well. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And we often focus on that first part. But this time, the latter part of the verse is what caught my attention. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And it was just as if the Lord seemed to say, you need my strength. And it is when we get to the end of ourselves, when we understand that we can't do this in our own strength, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Faith in his grace. Hold fast to faith in his purpose to establish righteousness upon the earth. And as we think about that this evening, we recognize the fact that in times of perplexity, faith must be fought for. Faith is a priceless treasure, and it has been this grasp of God by faith that has sustained countless of saints in ages in the past, and it is the faith of God that can and will sustain you. As a matter of fact, it was a time when everything was being swept away by invading armies. There was a great famine in the land. And we read in the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk cried out as he wrote those words in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And this is what he said. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." That's what was taking place in that moment of time. And he goes on to say, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why did he write those words? Why was he able to write those words? Because he believed in God and he had placed his trust in him. And so can I challenge you this evening to hold fast to your faith in God. Secondly, tonight we must hold fast to prayer and communion with God. We have been taught and we know that prayer and communion with God is what sustains us in our Christian walk. In the book of James, we read about that. James addresses this thing of prayer and quite a bit, but he says it is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. In other words, that person that is consistent, that person that goes after it and continues to pray and continues to seek God and continues to have communion with God. Can I remind you tonight that prayer is a conversation with God? Yes, it involves us making our petition known. Yes, it involves interceding about situations and about and for people and so forth and so on, making our requests known unto God. But it is also about listening to His voice and allowing Him to speak to us. It is not just a one-way communication, but it is a two-way street, if you will. Prayer is communication with God, and you and I must hold fast to prayer and communion with Him. And I would ask you the question, are you spending adequate time with your Savior in communing prayer tonight? Now I know that this is an area that probably every one of us have had struggles in it from time to time. We're busy people. We have a lot of things going on, and there's this to do and that to do and appointments and all these things. But ladies and gentlemen, we can never get so busy that we do not take the time to have adequate communion with God. If we find ourselves in that place, we will find ourselves growing weak. We will find ourselves growing discouraged. We will find ourselves being disillusioned by the things around about us. We must hold fast to prayer and communion with God. I read about Francis Asbury. He was one of those early Methodist circuit-rided preachers. Bishop Francis Asbury is what a lot knew him by. He came over from England. John Wesley had sent him over to be a part of what was taking place, and he began traveling. He began preaching. He began being a missionary. And during the Revolutionary War, when that took place at the birth of our country, there were a number of those Methodist ministers from London that they went back home. As a matter of fact, the Methodist Church in England called them back. And Bishop Francis Asbury, he wrote, you can find this in the correspondence between him and John Wesley and some others. He wrote back and he said, I will not return. That's the gist of it. It was much longer than that. But he said, I will not return. And he refused to return. And he remained during that difficult time in our nation's history. He said to them, that the people are in need of a shepherd. Someone must stay to shepherd the people. Bishop Asbury faced a lot of things. He was accused of being a spy. He was run ragged, if you will, but he refused to return, and he stayed here. And during that time, he said the thing that sustained him, as you would read in his writings, is he decided to dedicate a part of every hour of every day. Now that sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it? But that's what he did. He said, I'm going to take a little bit of time of every hour in that 24-hour period to spend time talking with God. And all the tests and trials that he went through and being detained and accused of being a spy and all of these things, he said that was the thing that kept, quote, the garden of my heart watered and enabled me to be a spiritual shepherd to those people that God had placed under my care. And once again, I want to remind you this evening that our strength and our comfort will come only from God through an unbroken fellowship with Him. And this fellowship with Him is maintained and it is nourished by much prayer and communion with God. And when your heart is aching because of the circumstances and the situations and your friends or your family, and your heart is breaking over all the things that are so disturbing, when it seems like there's darkness on every hand, can I challenge you to get along with God, talk to Him, pray, and have communion with Him. Remember who He is and pray some more. And thirdly, this evening, we must hold fast to the Bible, God's holy word. This is a valuable, valuable book. We live in a blessed time. We live in a time where probably most of us have more than one copy, maybe two or three. And I don't know what the number might be of the copies of God's word that we have at our disposal. And we have not only the written word, but we also have it on these electronic things, you know. And so my mind likes to wander, and just it does. And sometimes I battle that. And so sometimes when I'm reading, I put the thing on and I have somebody read it to me, and I read it myself at the same time, because if I don't, sometimes my mind's all over the place. And so I have to do that to discipline my mind. But do what you have to do to read God's word and to hold it fast and to know what it says. Just it was a few years back, I don't know, maybe 2019, 2020, I don't remember, one of our quartets from Penview, a male quartet, sang the song, and the title of the song was "I Believe the Book." And it went down through there talking about the things about God's word that we can believe and we can stand on. And I want to just share a few of those with you tonight. I believe the book of the word of God. I believe it when I read in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I believe it when I read Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe it when I read John 3:16 that we quoted to you just a few moments ago. I believe it when I read 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I shared that verse of Scripture with you this week as well. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe it when I read 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, that God's opinion on any given subject in our light and in our life, and the Word of God is that light upon our pathway, and it will throw floods of light upon your path that you might be able to see how to walk. You might be able to see the snares of the enemy, and that you might be able to follow the plan of God. I believe it when I read Psalms 1, one of the first passages of Scripture that I think I memorized as a young child. And just as soon as I say I memorized it, you know, now I probably won't be able to remember it. But it says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We could go on and on tonight. I like verses like Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But what they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, we shared this verse with you this morning. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what I'm simply trying to say to you this evening is that in this book, in the Word of God, we discover both the judgments of God and the tender, enduring mercies of God. We find both the goodness of God. We find the severity of God. It's all in here. And it is filled with His commands and His judgments. It is filled with His instructions. It is filled with His promises that you and I can claim for ourselves this evening. You will find in God's Word great truths that will nourish your faith. It will fortify and it will sustain your soul. It will rightly guide your conversation, both in the good times of life and in the bad and in the perilous times. And if you and I will feed upon the Word of God, when you do feed upon the Word of God, you will be able to walk with inner strength, with assurance, while the rest of the world that neglects the Word of God and sort of turns their back on it or turns their nose up at it is tossed to and fro in the storm of life. Hold fast to the Word of God. We must also hold fast to hope. Hope is like anticipating the sunrise on a pitch black night, or looking for the light switch in a dark room, if you will. And you know when you get there, you'll be able to flip that switch on and you'll be able to save yourself some turmoil from stubbing your toe and stepping on the building blocks or whatever else it was that the kids or the grandkids threw down there in the floor. Hope is something that is special. It was in a great time of great trouble and maybe even depression, whatever was going on there, that the psalmist David cried out in Psalms 42 verse 11. And he said this. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints in Rome, while facing the danger of a martyr's death in Romans 15, 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And once again, I want to remind you that God will not fail. Things may not always work out the way that you'd like for them to, or the way that you planned for them to or wanted them to, but that doesn't mean that God's failed. It means He has a higher and better purpose in mind. He will not fail. We must also, in these perilous times, hold fast to brotherly love and Christ-like compassion. And coupled with the thought of brotherly love and Christ-like compassion is a little thing that sometimes isn't talked about a whole lot, but that is the discipline of controlling our tongue. Did you know that those go together? Brotherly love and Christ-like compassion and the discipline of controlling our tongue. Well, that's a mouthful. But what I want to simply say to each other is hold fast for your love for one another. Let the love of Christ flow through you and have Christ-like compassion. Jesus said that this is how the world will know that we are His disciples. He said they will know that you are my disciples in that you love one another. And in spite of our differences of opinion, let love and compassion abound. Can I challenge you tonight to be compassionate to those who are misguided and confused? Because there's a whole lot of people that are, right? Misguided and confused. But be compassionate to those individuals. Be compassionate to those who are in need. Be compassionate to those who are blinded by the greed of self-gain, that they'll just run over you and trample you and do whatever it takes to get to the top. Have compassion. To those who are lost in sin, be compassionate and let Christ discipline your tongue. Our speech is something that should always be gracious, thoughtful, healing, and helpful. The old saying goes, if you can't find something good to say, about an individual, say nothing at all. Well, maybe that was just my mom that told me that. She said, if you don't have something good to say, I don't know that I want to hear it. I was talking about my brothers and my sister, you know. Anyway, James wrote in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. He also wrote later in chapter 13 of the book of James, he told us that the tongue is a mighty thing, and no man can tame it. It must be harnessed under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. The tongue is that thing which has the power to lift up, to encourage, but it also has the power to tear down and to divide and to devour and to destroy. And so very simply this evening, not everything that goes through our brain needs to come out of our mouth. We all know that, right? And sometimes that might be a challenge, maybe more for some more than others. I don't know. But let me kind of clarify this just a little bit here tonight. I believe with all of my heart that there is a time to stand and speak for that which is right. There comes a time when we need to open our mouth and stand up and speak for that which is right. And the truth is that a real man, a real woman will condemn wrong. But in doing so, it will be done, and it must be done in a right way. You cannot be morally sound and condone injustice or condone evil. But if you condone it, or if your condemnation of that wrong or that injustice or that evil is explosive, If it's done in the wrong manner, it will never have the right effect for righteousness. And it rather must be done with love and compassion. Simply put, a wise man once said, if we stand for right in the wrong way, then we stand wrong. And so in this day and age when we live in a time where there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of misguided individuals, there's a lot of mistruth, there will come the time when we must speak up, but let's do it Christ-like. Does that make sense? Hold fast to brotherly love, Christ-like compassion, and the discipline of controlling our tongue. We must hold fast to the fellowship of believers. I'm almost done. Just three more things. We must hold fast to the fellowship of believers. In these last days, more importantly than ever, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. In other words, lifting each other up. You see, the reality is that we were never meant to do this thing alone. Not only do we need communion and companionship with God, but you and I need each other. And the church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and we need each other to help each other along the way. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say to themselves, you know, I can do this on my own. And to be quite honest with you, I'm kind of one of those kind of people. I kind of like doing things on my own and by myself. But God has taught me a lesson that I need to be challenged by others. I need to be strengthened by others. And if you read through the Old Testament and you look at the life of Paul and Timothy and Barnabas, and you learn from some of those things, you understand that that's exactly what was being taught. That there is something about working together that challenge one another. Sometimes we're in error. Sometimes we need somebody to speak up and say, hey, what's going on in your life? Sometimes we need to encourage one another or be encouraged by someone. We need each other. Hold fast to the fellowship of the believers. You see, isolation breeds fear, but fellowship promotes courage. There's something about being together that says, you know, I'm not on my own out here, but there are some other people that think like me. There's some other people that are going this way. You remember the story of Elijah? You remember after Mount Carmel, and he went and he went there, and he was under the juniper tree, and he said, "Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left." Well, the reality was is that there were some other people, but he was off by himself, and he got to thinking, "I'm the only one." And so when we get to that place of, if we get to ever get to the place where we're isolating ourselves, we may very well begin to feel those kinds of things in our life. But if we'll stick to fellowshipping together and find courage and pushing forward together, you might could illustrate it this way. If you have a campfire, a fire that is burning bright, and you look in there and you see a nice, live, red hot coal. It's on fire, right? It's part of the fire. But if you reach in there, don't do it with your hands, but a pair of tongs or something, and you grab that live coal and you put it out, pull it out, and you lay it over here by itself, what happens? We all know what happens. The fire continues to burn, but this coal by itself soon begins to die out and to grow cold. Simple illustration. Hold fast to the fellowship of believers. We need to hold fast to holy living. Jude chapter 20, I'm sorry, not 20, there's only one chapter, just one book, just verses. Jude 20 and 21, verses 20 and 21. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And the world that we live in, it needs to see Christians who are living holy and pure and unshaken lives. And your testimony, it matters today more than ever. Your testimony matters today more than ever. Because we would think, well, it seems to be awful dark out there. But the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. You might say, "Well, I don't have a whole lot to offer. I don't have a lot of talents. My light's just little. My light's just little." But you ever been in a dark, dark room and just struck a match or lit a little candle, and that one light sort of just has a way of dispelling the darkness? And so this evening, our testimony matters. The last thought I want to share with you is simply this. You and I must hold fast to the God-appointed task of sharing the gospel. These two thoughts tie hand in hand. There's a lost world out there. There are individuals who did not know Christ, who have not heard the Word of God as you and I have, and they need to hear. And if ever there was a time in history that needs to hear the gospel, it's today. Would you agree with that? If ever there was a time in history that needs to hear the gospel, it's today. As a matter of fact, we don't have to be discouraged. We have the greatest product that was ever given. And we have a great opportunity to share the joy and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to throw out the lifeline, if you will, to tell what God has done for you. What a change that He can make that He made in your life, and He can do the same for you. Your life can be a light. It can be a beacon of hope to those that you come in contact with. Little things like this little button here that was mentioned to us. You know, sometimes some of the smallest things give opportunities to share what God has done for us. And when we do that, that's really all that God asked for us to do, is to let our light shine. Let our light shine and leave the rest up to Him. And so we have been given a command from God. It's in His Word. We're to go, we're to tell, we're to preach and teach and all of those things. And so my simple challenge to you tonight is this. In all of these things that we have mentioned, and while we may not know what the future may hold, and while we may not understand what's around the next bend, we can't see the future, but God does. He knows. He's already there. He's the beginning and the end. And we can place our trust in Him. And we can stand firm on His Word. We can find strength in communion through Christ, and we can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And my prayer for you tonight is that you will hold fast. In a day of unrest, in a day of turmoil, in a day of strife, and all that's in our world today, the words of Jesus challenge us and give us the encouragement that you and I can be firm and steady in our walk with Him, and our light can reflect His image. We can reflect His image with our life and the light of our life, and we can be a hope to those that we come in contact with. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like for us to stand together.